You're listening to Red Nation Online.
Welcome to From the Black Hole, episode 45. We've gotten away from our usual national team focus, and so in this episode, we talk all things men's and women's national team. We're back here, and the three of us, myself and Jeff and Lars, are back together for the second time running. This is like crazy stuff.
Yeah, it's a miracle, isn't it?
It is kind of a miracle. You tell me, Lars, have we managed to get all three of us back together? And it's only like a week apart or a week and a half apart. In recent memory, it's been a long time. Two in a row. Oh,
God, no. And I think part of the reason for that is I do a lot of travel, admittedly. And, you know, we're always doing things. We're always on the go, aren't we? So,
oh yeah,
it's kind of exciting, I think, from our standpoint. We get to do a lot of new things and we're getting to talk. But, we've been traveling. Jeff's been going off to all sorts of weird places like Hamilton, and I've been going off to Europe. and of course, the person who's really going to strange places is Rob, going to all these small towns in Saskatchewan and Manitoba, which is really exciting.
Yeah, it's very exciting. I was in Shaunavon and Estevan last week, and on Tuesday I'm going. Oh, sorry, no, I was in Shaunavon and East End last week, and on Tuesday I'm going to Estevan. All exciting places.
Yeah, you get to go down there and take soccer culture with you, Rob.
I'm about the only one in some of those places that has any soccer culture. Assuming that I have any soccer culture, I don't know. Do I? I try to.
I didn't know you had culture at all.
Yeah, culture is a bad word. And it's religion, maybe.
Yeah.
I don't know. We got a whole bunch of stuff to talk about. We talked MLS a couple in our previous podcast, and we thought we'd just talk a lot about Canadian national teams because there's been a whole load of stuff that's gone on, and we got a bunch of smaller topics, perhaps, instead of, you know, one big focus. So we're going to start with a few housekeeping things. First thing, what do you guys think? I'm assuming you've seen them. What do you think of the new kit? The new kit was unveiled in Edmonton a couple days ago, and of course it kind of got out there in those TSN commercials with the women's team already. Yeah. Jeff, thoughts on the new kit?
The first, and this isn't my original thought, this is just one that I've heard, but I think somebody might have tweeted, which they're currently being known as Boob Stripe.
Yes, of course.
Yeah.
Jeez.
I heard that and I'm just like, a dude came up with that.
Well, you know, it's funny because some of the people that interact occasionally with the podcast on Twitter have also talked about the boob stripe, but they've also said that they've got man boobs, so it actually fits for them as well.
Yeah, you know, I think and friends and I at the soccer center last night were joking about the boob stripe kit and how and it was our friend Ashley, who's going to be coming with her boyfriend Craig, who plays with me, to the game, to the opener against China, and she's just like, yeah, I guess you could say that, you know, some girls will, if the boob stripe, it'll be like the topography of the Rocky Mountains, and other girls will be the prairies.
Yeah, that's right. Nice.
That's harsh.
Now, it's not just women though; it's also men that will fit into those categories.
That's right. And I'm definitely the prairies. It's unfortunate.
Yeah, I'm more like the Great Divide Basin, right?
Nice.
My chest just looks like the front of my back. So
we are sex beasts.
Okay, but besides the boob stripe, Jeff.
Yeah.
Do you like it?
Yeah, I love it. I think it's a great looking shirt. I think it's great.
How do you think it compares to the previous couple?
You know, I really like the kind of alternating shades of red hoops, like the most recent one before this one that was just released.
Right.
I kind of like it, but you know what? I really do like these ones. The white collar is really sharp, and the stripe going across is nice, and it matches kind of the pattern of the, like the socks have that big wide white stripe.
Right.
So it kind of completes things finally. So I actually, you know, I think it's probably the best one we've had yet.
Lars?
I'm still not a fan of our lack of a decent crest, and I think that's the biggest thing we keep missing the point on is the shitty crest. Pardon my language. We need something that's actually going to represent Canada. There's very little pride in wearing a shirt with a half-cut-off soccer ball that looks like it was designed in the late 60s, early 70s.
I think it probably was designed in the late 60s, early 70s. Yeah, and then they changed the font.
Yeah, they got rid of the Star Trek font.
Yeah, in the 90s sometime or something like that.
Yeah.
So, you know, as far as I'm concerned, it's always going to be a combination of a red or a white shirt, or red and white shirt. The thing that really matters to me is A, we don't have another Chevron jersey. And B, we have a new logo that actually represents the country.
You know, I saw some people coming out in support of the old Chevron jersey. I was never a fan last maybe five or six kits.
Well, it isn't terrible. But just because something's not terrible doesn't mean it's good.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, Lars, here's a question for you then. Given the choice between the new kit and the Centennial kit, which one would you wear?
New kit and the Centennial kit. You mean, oh.
Your blue one.
Centennial kit, hands down.
Yeah, I figured you would say that.
It's, that thing is still good to wear anywhere.
Yeah.
Love that jersey. Could wear it any day of the week.
You know what I don't like about it? I mean, I like the classic style of the Centennial kit. But when you get like a supporter section with people all in it, and there are these little specks of blue throughout it.
Yeah.
I think it kind of looks awkward.
Yeah.
But as for the shirt itself, it's kind of a classic, right? So you can't go wrong there.
I think we're worrying about things that we should just be happy. If we can get a supporter section with people in it, I think we should be happy with that and maybe not worry so much about things like that.
But. Yeah, well, that's true. That's a good point. Okay, so that was housekeeping part number one, which did Grayson ever get, did he send out pictures? I think he did, didn't he?
Yeah.
We were having this discussion online. Lars, I don't think you were party to this discussion, but but Grayson Knutson, who is on CTV Edmonton and is also a Saskadelphian, said...
Southwest Saskatchewan.
Yeah, that's right. That's right.
From the crazy corner of Speedy Creek.
Yeah, Pennant. Pennant. just northwest of Swift Current and Pennant, the booming metropolis of. He said, oh, I found Julian de Guzman. He's in Edmonton. He's going to be at the kit unveil. And we said, there better be pictures or it didn't happen. Yeah. And so he posted pictures of himself or like from the kit unveil anyway, that to show for sure that he was there and whatnot.
Yeah. But, yeah. So we were trying to convince him to go ask Julian a whole pile of like really hardcore questions during
really tactless questions. Actually, yeah, I think is how you would call them. That was pretty funny. Well, we won't get into the questions right now because I don't know. It's not that kind of podcast, but they were pretty funny. We were having a good time.
Yeah. Well, I mean, the latest rumor that's come out from Steve Sandor is that FCE is probably one of the three clubs in NASL that Jules is talking to.
Did it say for sure FCE or was it just NASL in general? It.
No, he's rumored. He's just saying that the three clubs are probably the Cosmos, the Scorpions, and FCE.
Well, interesting.
Rummers are always awesome.
Yeah, rummers are awesome. I know. He put a good rummer out.
It's going to take him Taurads not being on an unattached FC anymore.
Oh my god.
Oh boy.
Okay, so
people who have just downloaded this is the first episode ever wondering if Rob is just slightly mentally challenged.
Well, yeah, myself, all of us. Lars also said rummer, okay?
Rummer, yeah, that's true. Yeah, fair, fair.
Rummers are always good.
Yeah, yeah. You got to watch out for those dangerous backstabbing rummers.
Rummers.
Sorry, yeah. Lars, you're breaking up. What did you say?
Oh, I see. He's not even listening
to me. I am. I'm trying to listen.
That's okay.
Okay. yeah, okay. I know that I had another, okay. This is the other housekeeping thing, and we won't spend too much time on this, but it's part of the current kind of online discussion that's going on. And that is, some of the caps on tour getting apparently punched or otherwise assaulted in Orlando, during the Orlando Vancouver game recently. I don't know. I don't even know what to say about it. It's pretty bizarre. Or maybe it's not bizarre. Is it bizarre? I guess that's my question. Is it bizarre? Or is this just like, it's going to happen and there's going to be some growing pains when you have new sets of fans maybe don't quite get it yet.
I bet you the guys that were standing behind them that did this aren't even part of one of the actual supporters groups, or they're absolute brand new members to one of the supporters groups. Orlando.
Okay, hold on. It is Orlando. Could they not be brand new members? Like, everybody in Orlando is a brand new member, aren't they?
Yeah, more or less.
It's not like they have any history.
There are guys that are holdovers from the USL, right? Like the Iron Lion firm guys.
Right.
Is another thing too. When your supporters group self-identifies as a firm, right?
Right.
Like the Iron Lion firm. It's just like, do these guys actually know what that word means? I don't think you say that word. I don't think it means what you think it means.
Well, maybe they're just trying to make it mean that too much.
Maybe,
well,
yeah.
It's inconceivable, but...
it's the same thing. The same thing as how back when TFC had that first huge away day to Columbus, and all those guys wearing the black Hudson Street hooligan shirts came over and started the row with all the RPB guys down in the parking lot.
Right.
Same deal. You just have guys that are just going to take the opportunity, right? They're opportunists.
Yeah. Well, let's hope for the sake of the people on tour, because I mean, good on them for going all the way across the continent. The guys from this, I think they're all Southsiders, but I'm not sure. I don't really know who's who there.
Pretty good destination, though.
Yeah, I can see the attraction.
Yeah,
but let's hope not too much more of that kind of stuff happens, because I mean, it's fun to kind of get in little, you know.
Spats.
Well, little talking matches with people and stuff like that, but nobody wants to get punched in the face or something.
I have to be punched in the face on a regular basis.
Is that right?
No.
I was going to make a comment about what your face looks like, Lars, based on that comment. I was going to say,
clearly it happens once a day. It would explain Lars's face. Oh!
Oh, hey-o, I'll refrain. I'll refrain, so... Anyway, I hope probably when the Orlando traveling fans go to Vancouver, they'll get much nicer treatment, because, of course, we're polite Canadians and all that.
Yeah. Yeah. There, I don't think they'll have any issues. But I hope those guys at least went to Disney World or Disneyland, whichever it is in Orlando, and pulled a Bart Simpson and launched a stink bomb into Mickey Mouse's face. Goes inside. I just wanted to entertain.
Oh, wow.
Well, okay. This is definitely setting records on this podcast.
Yeah, records for I'm not sure what, but...
yeah.
Anyway, well, that's housekeeping. Let's move on to some more serious stuff.
Yeah, serious things.
Right. Well, I was going to say topic two, but the first part wasn't really a topic. This is more like topic one. We are building up to the Women's World Cup. We haven't talked an incredibly large amount about what's gone on with the women this year so far. They've had some pretty decent results. They tied and beat Sweden in closed-door friendlies in LA, I believe it was. They won the Four Nations Cup in China. They lost by a goal, 1-0 to England in the final of the Cyprus Cup, but they ran the table with their group, so that was good. I can't remember exactly what their total numbers were, but I think they scored over double the number of goals that they let in. So that's good. And Christine Sinclair is scoring a bit. So I guess that's good too. I think I've just said everything that needs to be said about them.
Okay.
So let's move on. No.
Though I spaced out through your entire little thing there, so I didn't even hear it.
Okay, yeah.
It's all new to me, right?
It's
now.
All new to you? Okay. Well, yeah, I'll start with Lars and then you can catch up. I'm gonna throw this in a completely different direction because
Are you gonna go around the horn with this one?
Yeah, I'm gonna get Lars to chime in. Yeah. Because I just stole everybody's thunder. Apologies there. Yeah. Lars, what do you think about Hamilton getting the last friendly before the Women's World Cup? It's May something, late May. They're getting the friendly against England.
Well, I think it's good that the women's team is going to get to play in Hamilton. And I think it's exciting that that the women's team is going to get to play throughout the country. Obviously, we would want to see them play in every single city come Women's World Cup time. Unfortunately, that's not possible, so they should be spreading the games around, getting the team to, by games I mean the friendlies, getting the team to play in places that they normally don't play in or they won't be playing in the tournament. And this sort of goes, you know, it's kind of interesting. If this was the men's team, every single game would be in Toronto, including the friendlies. But it's kind of interesting that with this going forward, they're putting stuff in the East, even though the West is getting, you know, like Edmonton's kicking things off and the women's team is going to be, you know, showing off their stuff in the West and demonstrating their talent, love for the game and love for this country. You know, in the best province, Alberta. I guess I've become an Albertan. But,
What? Wait a second. The best province. What happened to you, Lars? You're from Saskatchewan.
I know. That's like three quarters of the population of Alberta is from Saskatchewan.
Well, that's true. It's just Saskatchewan West.
Saskatchewan West.
Yeah.
Calgary is big Regina.
It's exciting. You know what? I'm kind of curious to hear if the CSA hates Eastern Canada, but, you know, they sure seem to not care when it's the men's team. But it's great that they're spreading things around for the women's team, and it's good to see that they actually do have a national team, even if it's only one of the two genders.
So, the Hammer. You're going to be in the Hammer in a couple of days Jeff.
Yeah, I fly out to the Hammer tomorrow morning at 5 a.m.
So you're going to have to ask some of those guys, you know.
Well, I know, I can tell you right now.
You're going to ask Gator that.
Gator doesn't go. Gator is not a women's football watcher.
You know, I'm pretty sure, I'm not 100% positive, but I'm pretty sure he was talking in the thread on the Voyagers forum about that game coming up and how he's going to help out, you know, blah, blah, blah. I'm not sure what exactly. So you're going to have to ask him if he's going. He better be going. If he's not going, you got to kick him in the shins.
Yeah, well, I'm going to see him and a whole pile of other. Gator's a great guy. Carl's a great guy. He is actually, knowing that I'm going to be there tomorrow night, he's arranged for a local Voyageurs meetup.
Sweet.
Just because I'm there. No, I mean, not just because of me, but I mean, like, you know, I'm there and it's kind of presented the opportunity. So, yeah, there's like going to be him and a half dozen other local Vs are just going to show up and have an evening at the pub.
Nice.
That's
yeah.
So,
and you're going to have to then ask them how pumped they are for this game in Hamilton. You know, it's funny because following the thread on the Voyageurs board, it seemed like there was a lot of excitement. There's not only excitement from Hamilton, but they're organizing quite a few people from Toronto to bus it down there. So
yeah, and it's so short. Like when I get there tomorrow, I'm gonna be able to drive. I'm gonna take the 407, and it's gonna take me. And Google Maps says it's gonna take me 45 minutes. Well, I can tell you that's a lie. It's gonna take me about a half hour. It's about the same distance as Saskatoon to Borden, from Pearson Airport to downtown Hamilton. It looks
is that
like it
right?
Should be longer. Oh yeah, it looks like it should be longer, but it is not. If you get on the 407 all the way there, you have nothing to worry about. You just cruise the 407 all the way. I mean, you got to pay that toll, but but I don't have to worry about it because I get to expense it to our company. But yeah, you got to pay the toll, but it doesn't matter. There's never anybody on there because nobody wants to pay the toll. So you get up on the 407 expressway and just gun it, and you can be there in like easily a half hour.
Okay, so we're talking about the transportation routes between Toronto and Hamilton.
Yeah.
Let's.
I thought we were talking about Jeff's corruption.
Jeff's corruption, yeah, that's right. Well, we're also corrupt. We're also talking about how Jeff thinks that people put giant parties together just for him.
Yeah, that's true. That's also true.
Yeah, no, in all seriousness, and of course, it's always difficult to have a really good grasp of what's going on in these women's tournaments off the continent where we, you know, sometimes we get only the barest of highlights from. But how are you feeling about the Women's World Cup coming up and our performance in it compared to, you know, the last few months or a year ago? Are you more encouraged, less encouraged, or kind of the same?
I'm still terrified. I'm just terrified. I definitely haven't realized how much subconsciously I've emotionally invested myself in our success in the tournament. I haven't wanted to because I feel I just can't bring myself to get confident about and Canadian national team anymore.
That Lars and I are not laughing. We're just like, we're just sitting here. We're sitting here in different cities, nodding our heads. Going, yes. Yes, that's right.
Because I know that if I let myself get confident, if I let myself get too excited, if we get let down, the emotional scarring, the trauma, the emotional trauma is just very difficult to deal with, and I don't want to get bummed out. I just don't want to get bummed out.
But having said that, you've got yourself. You're going to these games in Edmonton.
Yeah.
And you've got a bunch of other people going to these games in Edmonton.
Yeah.
So it's kind of too late. Hey, that ship has sailed.
The ship has sailed. Oh yeah. No, I'm emotionally invested and I can't stop it. So I'm terrified. I'm terrified that the Chinese are playing possum and that us beating them in China was them playing possum. And that they're way better than they are and that they're going to come out and they're going to somehow, what the heck's the word I'm looking for? Like get all the Chinese support in Edmonton behind them 100%. And it's basically going to turn into a Chinese home match, even though.
Okay, it's not.
I know it won't, but I'm.
That's total paranoia.
Things have happened in this country. We've seen things.
I know things have happened. That thing is not going to happen.
I think we actually just need to make that like part of the official opening. We've seen things.
We've seen things. That's right.
We all have PTSD, okay?
Yeah.
I know for a fact that my buddy, and you've met him, Lee Cormish, here in town, the guy that writes the soccer articles for the Star Phoenix, I know, and he has told me that he has PTSD because of the national team in the 90s.
Oh, I believe it.
Because he vividly remembers going through the World Cup qualifying cycle for USA 94 and how we lost it on penalties in Australia. He said that he has never been able to recover from that moment of when they went down on penalties to Australia. He says that is emotionally shattered.
Okay, you know what though? And we should stop talking about this because we are supposed to be talking about the women's national team.
Yeah.
But that was maybe the last time we were close. At least we were close. Heck, yeah. it can't possibly be worse than 8-1 in Honduras. Anyway, let me throw it to Lars here.
Yeah.
Do you feel better about our chances now that we've had a few results, or is this still not necessarily doing it for you?
I can't even remember how I felt before. I think we'll be okay. So they're playing at home. The China match obviously is going to be a little tough. There's large expat community, but I don't know, I don't know how many Chinese people will show up to actually watch the game. And that's, that's one thing. It's sort of an X factor. You never know what exactly is going to happen. And even if they're going to cheer for China, yes, people are proud to be Chinese, but there's also a lot of people here are proud to be Canadian. So it's tough to know. And I'm not going to feel bad or not going to feel scared or anything like that until, you know, until we can actually see where things are going to be going. And I guess we won't know that till about game day, right? So, you know, it's hard for me to feel terrified or feel like we're going to do anything until we actually see the team play. And that's the thing with the Canadian teams. You never know how they're going to show up and how they're going to do until they actually do.
Here's a random thought that I was talking. Same thing with Craig and Ashley last night at the soccer center. But there's like, we should probably wear red at minimum for this, right? And I'm like, yeah, in fact, why don't you guys just go out and buy the new kit? And they're like, oh, okay. Well, anyway, we were talking about it, and it's like, do you think that we're going to actually be wearing our home reds for the opening match? And I got to thinking, and I'm like, geez, you know, I hope the CSA at least brokered a deal with FIFA and the Chinese Federation to let us wear our home red kit for that opening match. Because how much does Commonwealth hold? 60,000?
Something like that, yeah.
Yeah, there could be 50,000, 55,000 Canadians wearing red, and then our girls out on the pitch wearing white. You know? It's not that big of a deal, but if the Chinese are wearing red, it would be kind of awkward.
It can't happen.
That's the kind of paranoia that I am struggling to cope with.
See,
leading up to this thing.
The way you're talking, you're expecting all the women to get like a stomach virus 24 hours before the game.
I'm expecting Christine Sinclair to like be abducted by aliens.
Right.
Before the match kicks off. Like, she'll be coming out of the tunnel, and then a ship will come over. The mothership will come over top of Commonwealth and beat her up, and we will never see her again. She'll get tested.
Okay, well, this is going madly off. You can be tested, yes. It'll be like, what was that movie? I can't remember. There's
Close Encounters of the...
No. There's a movie where a guy...
Close Encounters of the Third Guy.
Yeah. Oh
my God.
That's right.
I hope, you know, there's always a chime in the stadium. You know, there's always like a to get people's attention. Yeah. I hope ours is do. And if that happens, you'll watch me fall over into a seizure.
We should turn that into a chant, actually.
Might be
kind of fun. Anyway, let's close our discussion about the women's team. Congratulations to Hamilton for getting the friendly. That'll be fun. And then our women are playing France in France. That's going to be a tough one coming up in a little while. And then I'm not sure what's happening between those two friendlies, if they're going to schedule another one or not. I do know that a bunch of the women's team after the Cyprus Cup were kind of on holiday. They were all over the world and tweeting pictures of themselves in far-flung places of the world, and now they're all on their way back to Vancouver. So I guess there'll probably be some more news out of Vancouver as training goes on. All right, topic two. Not that long prior to this podcast, our under-17 men's team had two chances to qualify for the under-17 World Cup, and this would have been their third qualification for the under-17 World Cup in a row. They unfortunately dropped their final game to Panama 1-0. That would have, if they would have won that game, they wouldn't have won the group and been off to the under-17 World Cup, men's World Cup. And then they ended up losing to Costa Rica. I think it was 3-0. They gave away a really bad goal. Well, not a really bad goal. A very unfortunate goal where the ball kind of hopped over the keeper's foot on a back pass and rolled into the net. Yeah, it was. It'd be very hard psychologically if you were that keeper. But always tough to beat the same team twice in a tournament because they beat Costa Rica 3-2. In their round robin game, and due to a bit of a quirk in the way that they schedule the 2-3 games, ended up losing. And now that aside, we were at the last under-17 men's World Cup and at the previous under-17 World Cup, and we almost got to this under-17 World Cup. We haven't come within a country mile for the under-20s for a very long time, and we're even further away from the Senior World Cup. So, Lars, I'm going to throw this to you first. Why are we reasonably competitive at the under-17 level, And why do we fall off so much in the three intervening years between under 17 and under 20?
Well, we have a combination of two things. Number one, other countries don't really care so much about youth tournaments. Youth tournaments are more for, you know what, I would say they're almost more for coaching development than they are for player development. You rarely see players play all the way from the U17 to the senior team. It does happen occasionally, but most of these guys don't know what they want to be at the U17 level, let alone, you know, when they've turned 21 or 23. People change over the years, and I think a lot, it's very hard to identify talent and identify the players of that age group. So Canada, typically, we have a very athletic team. It's no secret that we tend to go with athleticism over talent, athleticism over skill. And we put a lot of emphasis on overwhelming our opponents with that athleticism. So I think from that standpoint, we usually field the team that's more competitive in terms of what it takes to win. And then the other side of that is, we don't have the structure, the pyramid in place to bring players through. So Canada's U17, U20, U23, it typically consists of guys who are going to be there all the way to the senior team, mostly because these are the only guys who are getting the opportunities. If you look at, say, the United Kingdom, they have hundreds and thousands of players going through youth academies, playing in setups, you know, playing in all these different academy structures across a multitude of divisions and a multitude of teams in the British, or sorry, the English. I used UK, I mean England, but it's just an example in the English football pyramid. So it's a matter of development, and we're reliant on the same guys that we take from the start. Whereas if you look at these other countries, they may not be taking the best players because of a lack of knowledge or even a lack of caring.
Hmm. So basically what your thesis is that these aren't their best players anyway. So we're competitive at under 17 because these are not necessarily the best under 17s that Mexico or Costa Rica or Panama or Jamaica are bringing.
Correct.
Okay. Jeff, do you think the same thing, or do you think there's something different going on? Well, by the way, can I just say one thing?
Yeah.
I mean, I think a lot about this kind of thing. And I want to kind of give bring the Jason DeVos argument into this a little bit too. I mean, one of his central kind of ideas is that our development system in the country is broken, right? Is that a fair way of characterizing what he says? I think it is.
Oh yeah.
So to me, and maybe Lars has given some evidence that my way of thinking of this is incorrect.
I wouldn't say that.
No. I haven't said what my idea is yet. So you can't.
We just know off the bat that what Rob's going to say has got holes in it. Like
no. Lars just said that it didn't have holes in it.
Well, it does.
Or he said he wouldn't say that necessarily. But yeah. Well, no. I'm not saying that what I'm saying is brilliant or anything. But to my way of thinking, if we're competitive at under 17, but not so much at under 20, then that's somewhat where the gap is. So maybe our under 17s aren't so bad. Maybe there's something that's happening in between the under 17 and under 20, which would suggest that maybe our development system isn't as broken as people, Jason DeVos, for example, might say it is. Now, I'm not saying that he's wrong necessarily. I'm just saying that makes me ask the question at least. So do you think there's any merit to that, Jeff, or do you think something else entirely?
I think, and this is after some really good discussions with, especially with Dino Rossi, and he and Steve Sandor have really helped me kind of step back and actually take a look at what the actual picture is here. I think that I used to really, really feel that the youth development system in the country was way off. It was completely broken and needed to be completely and utterly torn down and rebuilt. But that isn't necessarily 100% the truth. It's broken, but it doesn't need to be completely rebuilt. It just simply needs to evolve. The youth development in this country needs to evolve, and it needs to be allowed to evolve. And when I say evolve, what that means is we need to get away from these amateur youth clubs of rec soccer as the primary tenant, and we need to start going towards the youth academies, the rise in academies, and connections to pro clubs. So the number one reason, the absolute bottom line, indisputable reason in my mind, is that we do not control our own league pyramid. We don't have our own league pyramid. That means that these kids who are promising athletes, they're good. It's not that Germany somehow is birthing babies that grow up to be superior Übermensch compared to Canadian kids. That's not the case. It's that in countries like Germany and Spain, Italy, they have their own internal league pyramid already established. So kids have a completely clear pathway from joining Timbit soccer when they're 3 or 4 years old to eventually getting a pro contract when they're 17 or 18, right? Because you see these kids in Costa Rica, the kids that whooped us 3-0, the Costa Rican kids, they have a place to go. And in fact, they probably are already at the feeder club too. If they're not already part of the academy of the top flight club, then they're in a club that is a feeder to the top flight clubs, right? They have their established league pyramid. Our lack of a Canadian National League pyramid is the number one reason why we haven't made World Cups.
So if
at all age levels,
if we build it, they will come.
Yes. If we establish our own league pyramid, starting with basically an OPDL style leagues, which BC, Ontario, and Quebec kind of have now. And then Dave Nutt, of course, is working on for here in the Prairies, the high, whatever he was calling it, the Prairie High Performance League, the PHPL, which is surely going to get a name change. you know, once those things are established.
Like football.
Yeah, football.
That's what we play in this town. We play football.
We play football. Bravo. Bravo. I'm sure McMahon would enjoy that one.
As somebody with a punny sense of humor will enjoy it. Everybody else will think I'm a dork. But anyway, that's nothing. Mm-hmm. That's nothing new.
Mm-hmm. Okay, we think you're a dork.
We do think you're a dork. Yeah.
Thanks, guys.
Gigantic whale's penis. That's good.
wow. We set new lows here every day.
I know, right?
Oh, man.
So yeah, no, the absolute bottom line, the bottom line is that we don't have our own actual high-performance league pyramid. We have everything set up perfectly for rec, and everybody's opinion, it seems, when you talk with people, when you just talk with the soccer moms and dads and all that, they are perfectly happy with us only having this recreational stream. That's all they care about. But there are people out there that do want their kids to have the opportunities. And that's why sometimes you see these kids going over to Europe when they're super young, you know, going and joining an academy because they have to. They don't have any options here. I mean, there are some of the academies across the country like his name is leaving my mind, but he on Twitter he has Captain Jack Sparrow as his avatar.
Oh, geez, I should know that.
Captain yeah, Jack, that's that's I can't remember right now. Colin Elms.
Yes,
Colin Elms. He has one, and then there's the guy that runs Sigma, and then there's the guys that run the other academies out in Ontario. And I mean, when they voted in Ontario not to include the academies in the OPDL. That was a huge, huge step backwards, a huge step backwards. That was allowing rec soccer to destroy the high-performance stream. That was what that was. That was letting rec soccer fight to maintain status quo and destroy the – and now that the academies are suddenly allowed to become involved in things – and you know what's funny? Interesting. I'm sorry. I know I'm long-winded on this one.
That's all right. That's all right. Keep going.
This is a topic that – this is what I eat for breakfast. And I had this conversation with three guys in Moose Jaw. They found out that I had was a former board member and was going to be getting back on one of the committees. So they called me over to their discussion. They said, "Hey, what do you think of the rise of academies across the province? What do you think of this?" And I said, "To tell you fellas the truth, I hope that the rise of the academies makes it so that Moose Jaw soccer, Saskatoon youth and adult soccer, or Saskatoon youth soccer, Regina soccer, Battleford's youth, all the youth soccers, all the districts vanish. I hope it causes them to vanish, to be completely dissolved, because I don't think that we need to let all these youth associations run the show." And the one guy was absolutely flabbergasted. Like, he was completely beside himself. And he says to me, "Well, what about the grassroots? Who looks after the grassroots?" I say, "The academy system isn't going to destroy the grassroots. I mean, if the districts disappeared and the provinces disappeared, and we let the rise of academies and the CSA ends up becoming the only association in the country, which it should be, they'll be able to look after the grassroots just fine and dandy. We don't need these stupid levels of bureaucracy." Anyway, two of the three guys were kind of like, "Okay, I can see your point. I don't disagree with you, but at the same time, I think it's a very radical view." Whereas the third guy was completely beside himself and probably wants to assassinate me now because he was so anti what I was saying, so incredibly against what I was saying. But
either that or he sobered up the next day and he's forgotten who you were.
Yeah, no, they were working. they were working the tournament, so they knew what was going on. But yeah. Anyway, the bottom line is the advent of a Canadian league pyramid is the only thing that's going to save us. It's the only thing that's going to save us. If people think that no, we can just try and push more kids to overseas academies, forget about it. We're never going to get to a World Cup again.
Okay, final topic. We are going to talk about the men's national team. And there's so much potentially to talk about. There's a lot of stuff that we may or may not want to remark about. I'm just going to build a big list, and I'm going to throw it to the guys, and they're going to talk about whatever they want, and then we're going to shut this episode down.
Bring it on the horn.
We're going to bring it around the horn. We're going to get her done.
Let's get her done, then shut her down.
We're going to get her done, shut her down after
that's
we go.
That's for Grayson.
Yeah, that's right. After we go around the horn and have you guys chime in. We got a couple of friendlies coming up towards the end of March. We're going to play Guatemala and Puerto Rico. Is it dangerous? I've got some hopes for results in these games.
We should.
Okay. Okay.
I know we're all jaded. I know we all have PTSD, but God almighty, against Guatemala and Puerto Rico, nothing less than a result should be expected.
Okay. I'll let you talk about that after I start my list. Or yeah. Finish my list. I started my list. I got to finish it. Okay, so we got friendlies. Then we've got our first World Cup qualifier for 2018 coming up either against British Virgin Islands or Dominica. We don't know who yet because they haven't played. They're going to play later this month. Thirdly, and I know people are pretty jacked up about this, Gold Cup versus Costa Rica in Toronto, July 14th. 2015. And then we've got a bunch of other stuff going on. Hopefully, assuming we can get past Minnows, British Virgin Islands, or Dominica, we probably, touch wood, will have more qualifiers, I believe, in November-ish and March-ish. November 2015, March 2016. Hey, November and March, crappy outdoor weather. Maybe they can go and play in Vancouver. I don't know.
I hear there's a good venue in Iqaluit.
Yeah, I hear there's a good venue in Iqaluit. Not that time of year. Oh, heck no. Okay, Jeff, pick one of those and say what you want about it. And then Lars, pick one of those and say what you want about it. And then we'll call it a day. Jeff first.
Okay. I will choose the World Cup qualifying match. Is that okay, Larsy, or do you really want to talk about that one?
You can go ahead.
Are you sure?
Yep.
Okay. All right. So the World Cup qualifier, we should expect it to be Dominica. Dominica, I think, has won all the previous meetings between the two nations, between the two islands. so we should be expecting it to be Dominica. But it'd be kind of cool if it was the British Virgin Islands, because that'd be a cool place to go to. Plus, I think it's even easier for us to get there because it's a UK protectorate. And I think, isn't it always easier to get to places that are like, you know, Commonwealth protectorates?
I don't know. Bahamas is an independent country, and I was just there, and it was really easy.
Yeah, I think it'd be the same thing for the British Virgin Islands. I was taking a look at the flights just to do it. And it will take around like 20 hours, 18 to 20 hours to get there, because there's multiple stops and the flights to that island only happen, like, there's like one flight every couple days, I think. It does not happen all the time. So no matter what, your layover is going to be like a ridiculous amount. You don't spend a crazy amount of time in the air, about the same amount of time that it takes to get straight to Cuba. But it's just, it's broken up, and you have to take like all these little flights. You have to take like a little flight to, I think you can fly from like Denver or something to, one of the bigger islands. It might be the Bahamas, or it might be like Aruba or something. And then you have to take another little flight to another island that's like Curaçao or something. And then you take another little flight from there to actually get to the British Virgin Islands. And same thing for Dominica. Both of them are like, have non-major airports.
Jeez, let's hope the CSA is going to charter a plane.
Yeah, that's actually one of my thoughts. I was just like, I was looking at the flights for me. I hope that they at least can fly the guys to like Miami and then have a flight chartered to get them to either BVI or Dominica. Because my goodness, like that, I can totally understand these guys now when they get called up to a game like that. And they have to come all the way from, well, where's Hutch right now? Where's Hutch playing?
In Besiktas, in Istanbul.
In Istanbul. So he's going to have to fly from Istanbul to either Dominica or the British Virgin Islands, probably. If he gets called, if he accepts the call, right? And if he doesn't, I totally understand. Like, if Hutch and a few other guys that are way the hell over in Europe get requested and are just like, you know what? Not this one.
You know what, though? It'll be, like, June.
So it'll be harder than hell down there, too.
Well, yeah, but their seasons are over.
Yeah, their seasons are over. That's true. So, yeah, maybe it'll be easier for them. I don't know. Still, like
it might be easier for them than the MLS guys.
Yeah, it was not pretty having to fly that distance. Like, that is incredible. I hope that they've already come into Canada and have, like, a week to get over jet lag and to get their fitness level up a little bit and then fly to the island.
Right.
Because man alive, that's going to be a bit of a trek. So anyway, I'm definitely going to the World Cup qualifier against whichever of the two of them we get the tie against. And that should be a great match. I think, and it's odd that it's in between the two Women's World Cup matches. Because literally, I'm driving to Edmonton with a bunch of friends, and then catching a flight after the Women's World Cup match to Toronto, and then going to that game, and then flying back to Edmonton, and then driving back home after the second Women's World Cup.
There you go.
Game. There you go. Like, it's gonna be a crazy trek.
Is it for sure gonna be between those two games?
It is. Yeah,
absolutely for sure. Or is it potentially gonna be between the Thursday Women's World Cup game and the next one in Montreal?
I'm pretty sure our home leg is definitely on the 8th. For some reason, I was asking about this, and somebody pointed me to CONCACAF's diagram of how things are going to work, and I believe we get the first leg of that at home.
Yes, we do. I think you're right. We do, which is weird. It's weird that we get the first leg.
So we have it on the 8th. So it'll be on June 8th. So it'll be 2 days after the Women's World Cup game.
No, it's going to be quite a trip.
I'm curious what publicity it's going to get too. Like Sportsnet, you know, is going to have the women or who's got the Women's World Cup TV rights?
TSN, I think, has it.
TSN?
Yeah, yeah. Well, they've had all the commercials. Hey, they've had all the Ben Massey commercials. Yeah.
All the Ben Massey specials.
He's on every commercial. He's now the new face of the men's
face of Benjamin Massey, face of Canadian soccer.
Well, how could he not be the face? How could he not be the face because he's got so much face?
Ben, we love you, man. Just so you know that we only bug you because we love you.
He's not listening to this. He's too good for us.
That's true. Well, no, he says he doesn't listen to podcasts anyway, so we can slag him all we want.
That's right.
Yeah, Ben, if you're listening, I want you to write in on our Facebook chat that we're all dinks. Just write the word dinks. That's all you have to write.
Okay,
we'll actually listen to this.
Okay, we can't tell him. We have to, and we don't want anybody else to tell him to give him a heads up. Let's see if he actually listens.
Let's see if he actually listens. This is a test, okay?
Yeah.
So that's my thoughts on that. There's no reason why we should lose that tie. It'd be insanity if we did, and I'm really curious about who we would get in the next, who we would get in the group draw, because that's probably going to determine where this World Cup qualifying cycle's Voyager's away vacation trip is going to be. Right. I assume that Jamie and Trevor are going to probably put together something via the supporters section.
I suspect you're right.
Yeah, so that'll be interesting, and that's my thoughts on that.
Okay, Lars, talk about something.
Talk about something.
Yeah, you have the Gold Cup match.
Yeah, the Gold Cup's coming up. Isn't that exciting? Playing in Toronto. Well, it's better than playing like in three different American cities across four different time zones.
We still are though. We start in one time zone, then we move to Texas, and then we move another 2 hours ahead.
At least one game's in Toronto, right?
Yeah.
Hey, Lars, here's a question for you though. Are you going to go to that game? Are you going to try and go to that game?
I'm not going to go to that game.
Come on, man.
I'm not going to that game.
Why?
It's just a matter of money. So, and vacation time as well. So
well, yeah,
I
vacation
kind of
time.
Used up a lot of my vacation going to far-flung places. But, I think it's exciting. We got the Gold Cup coming up. We got World Cup qualifiers coming up in which we get play against teams that'll probably draw us, and then we'll look really embarrassed, and then we might actually go out and win the second match. But coming back to the Gold Cup, it was time for the annual griping of the U.S. I got a kick out of the MLSsoccer.com's Facebook page. What was it they said? Oh yes, the U.S. gets tough draw, and what was my thought on that? The hand-picked groups that they were drawn into.
Yeah, tough, quote-unquote draw.
Very, very tough. You know, they got Haiti and Canada's in, typically with the same teams we usually are, who slaughter us and embarrass us, and then we wonder why we can't make quarterfinals and we can't qualify for X tournament or Y tournament, and it's going to just be that whole thing all over again. So, enjoyed the griping though on the U.S. page about how hard done by that they are, but I've yet to see them drawn into a group with Mexico. So,
right.
CONCACAF being CONCACAF, it's got me inspired and quite depressed over soccer in not just Canada but the world.
Ouch! But that's a good thing though that we got the Gold Cup in Toronto, don't you think?
Oh, it's fantastic. It's about time it's outside of the U.S. Mm-hmm. But we're not going to see that ever. It's never going to leave the U.S. entirely. It's always going to be in the U.S. It's where it makes money for the region, and it's always going to be there.
It's where it makes money for Soccer United marketing. Let's look at the bottom. Let's look at the actual bottom line here.
Well, yeah. Well, in CONCACAF as well, right?
Well, I'm curious how much CONCACAF actually makes. To be honest, I'm curious how much CONCACAF actually makes, because it seems a heck of a lot more like this is a real moneymaker for some than it is anything else.
Well, yeah, it could be. I'm not sure. But you'd have to think that if CONCACAF wasn't making any money on it, that they'd move it somewhere, right? They must be doing all right.
Oh, yeah, I think they're probably doing okay.
They make a lot of money. They wouldn't make money elsewhere. Not like they're making now.
They might make money in Mexico, hey? Don't you think?
Not the same. Not even close, though.
No?
No. You have to think sponsorship dollars and TV.
Yeah.
And you also have to think that every single Latin American team that plays in the U.S. gets a big draw.
Well, that's true.
If it was in Mexico, you would mostly see Mexican fans out. Mm-hmm. For the Mexican team, but not so much for the other teams.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, they take the advantage of the U.S. being the melting pot. and having all the expats living there. It's basically, you have the ability to create some home atmospheres for away nations. And here you might be able to do that too. You know, I would argue that they could probably, if they hosted the Gold Cup only in Canada one cycle, I think they would probably be able to, you know, they'd still be able to fill it because those people would travel from the U.S. They would travel to come up and watch, I bet you, at least one of the matches, you know.
Plus, they'd probably put the Honduras, at least one Honduras match in Montreal.
Yeah.
we have
beaten them there.
We went there.
Sorry, I went there. My apologies.
Yeah, all I can see is Brzezinski's hand bleeding right now.
Yeah.
So, of course, we know that the Voyageurs Cup match is going to be coming up soon. It's going to be April 29th. I'm going. I'm taking Steve and I are going. Neither of you guys are planning on going to that one, right?
I'd like to be at it, but I have a feeling that I'm not going to make it.
Yeah. Yeah. It should be good. It should be good. You're the closest out of all of us. You could make that drive up to Edmonton, couldn't you?
Yeah, I'm not going.
Fair. But yeah, so Steve and I are going to go. We're going to go hang out with all the guys in the ESG for that game. It's on April 29th. It's a Wednesday. It's Wednesday, April 29th against Ottawa. That should be fun. I already talked with the Ottawa guys, and none of them are going to be able to make the trip out. When it's midweek, you can't expect that anyway, right?
It's tough.
I really wanted to go to this one, and I told my boss for a long time that I'm probably going to be taking time off at the end of April to be able to go to this game. Because I enjoyed the only other Voyageurs Cup match I've been to was when Montreal went to TFC and Andrew Wiedemann scored the winner towards the south end. I remember that. That should be good. And then also another little mini thing, foreshadowing. But we've been talking with Tommy Wheeldon Jr. from Calgary Foothills, the PDL side, and we're expecting to have an interview with him here before the end of April. So that should be good. And that might be another one where that might be one of the first ones where all three of us are on here for an interview, right?
Assuming Lars wants to do the interview thing, he's always reluctant about it, the interview side of things.
Yeah, possibly.
You could just be on and breathe heavily in the background. and make random Darth Vader comments.
Yeah, I was about to say, I am the master.
Yeah. Once I was but the learner, now I am the master.
Oh, we've had a lot of Star Wars quotes. Did they get recorded? Is that the only one that's been recorded?
No, none of the robot chicken stuff got on here.
No, the robot chicken stuff got on. That's a pity. Yeah.
We can't repel jokes of that magnitude. Sorry.
Yeah.
Had to be said.
Yeah, and last thing that I want to make mention, and this is, once again, a total plug, but we're going to be running the Saskatoon Celtic Invitational Soccer Tournament again this year in September. So any of our good listeners who play on a nice low division beer league men's team or even play co-ed, bring your team out. It's going to be either the second or third weekend in September here in Saskatoon. And it's a pure beer league tournament. So make sure you get out here for that. That's my marketing job.
And that brings us to the end of episode 45. Thanks for listening. We'll be back soon with another episode. So until then, take care.